Welcome back to the program here Monday to Friday, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Coming up an hour or two, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. In the meantime, we're getting on the Edmonton Oilers page. Edmonton taking a 3-1 series lead. The 5-3 victory over the Calgary Flames last night in albeit controversial fashion. Luke Gastic, former Oiler. Now Oilers studio analyst joins me now. Luke, how are you today, bud?
Good, Jeff. How about yourself?
I'm real good. You know, just running down a list, it's pretty interesting when you have a look at, you know, the number of coaches that we've seen so far through the Oilers organization, just while Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been there. It is spectacular. You were there with them. Before we run down all the coaches and everything, what are your thoughts? Because last night was a great performance by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Really happy for him. Your thoughts on RNH. We'll start there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the coaches. I heard you going through the list earlier. I had 4 and 3 years there as well. And you know, Nuge is a guy sat beside each other in the dressing room for almost my entirety there, and was also sitting beside us on the plane. We used to play cribbage and chuck cards around on the plane. And just an even keel, easygoing guy, really super competitive. But it was awesome to see him get rewarded last night, because he, you know, behind 97 and 29, he doesn't get all the accolades for all the stuff he does on and off the ice. Just a great performance by him, and super happy for him. Really nice kid, and glad to see he's getting rewarded.
Tom Rennie, Ralph Krueger, Dallas Eakins, Craig McTavish, Todd Nelson, Todd McClellan, Ken Hitchcock, Dave Tippett, Jay Woodcroft. That's in an 11-year career. It's spectacular, eh, Luke?
I know, it's crazy. And for him to be doing as well as he has and to be so successful, it's tough going from coach to coach. Everyone has a little bit, you know, their different quirks and different systems. And to be able to pick up those you know, habits and stuff over all the years is very impressive.
How did you see last night's win? You know, the way that I look at this thing is there's the 3-0 game, there's the 3-3 game, and it could have gone either way. And normally when a goaltender allows a goal like we saw Mike Smith let in, that Rasmus Anderson 130-foot slap shot from his own zone, normally teams crumble, Luke, when we see that, but not so much Edmonton. How'd you see yesterday's game?
I know. No lead is safe here in this series. We've seen a couple big comebacks, but, you know, even when they went up 3-0, I think Calgary's just too good of a team. They're too deep to not put up a fight, and then when that goal happens, I was a little nervous, but you know, this is a different Oilers team, I think. They have this kind of innate ability to overcome adversity, and they're just playing with so much momentum and confidence, and that's how they build off it. But, you know, they have this, you know, ability to just stay in the fight and be able to continue to look forward. So even when it got tied back up, you can see they're not, you know, maybe they're not showing it how nervous they are, but they have this pretty cool ability that they're staying in games.
What, you know, the Oilers go up in this one pretty quick, and right away, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scores the gaff by Jacob Markstrom. I don't know, maybe the kick plates are too hot. He wasn't used to it. I don't know. You can speak more to the rink there than I can. But even though Calgary's down 3-0, I didn't think they were playing a bad game. Like, at the end of that first period, like, what was going through your mind about, you know, the Oilers and the Flames last night? Because, you know, the scores, you know, scores 3-0 here, but I'm not sure that anyone's saying the Flames are out of this thing.
No, you're exactly right. I didn't think Calgary was playing too bad of a game. And like I said, I think they're just too deep and they're too strong. They've done it consistently all year. They had to pick up marks from a bit, but I was still thinking, you know, that we still got a game here. It's still early with this team. And, you know, like I said, there was no lead that's been safe in this series. So the Flames picked up Markstrom, and like they have all year, they're a good squad. You can never count them out.
They really are. A little bit more on the Oilers here, and then we'll look at the series in general. Evander Kane, you know, I can recall, you know, talking to people when the Oilers first signed him, and one of the, you know, the defense of Evander Kane is always real good hockey player, and essentially it's a free player. So it's a low risk here. And we know that Connor McDavid, you know, sort of stood up and, you know, put his name forward and said, this is someone that we should go after. This has worked out great, worked out in the regular season, has now worked out in the playoffs, 12 goals in the postseason so far, 2 more last night for Evander Kane. You know, as one person pointed out to me, you know, Evander Kane only gets, like, this is a good risk for the Oilers. Because essentially it's an audition for Evander Kane for his next contract. And this person said to me, you know, Evander Kane generally only gets in trouble when he's really comfortable on a long-term deal, etc. But do you not get the feeling now that Edmonton, you know, with Evander Kane are in a spot now where if you're, you know, Evander Kane's, you know, representation, that's Dan Milstein, a gold star, are you not saying like, okay, well, we have to be in a position here to make Evander Kane comfortable? Your thoughts on Evander Kane, the regular season, the playoffs, and what's next?
Well, I think it goes without saying he has a little bit of a controversial past. And even myself, I wasn't sure about the signing at first. You never know how those guys are going to mix in the locker room, especially with a team that had a lot of good chemistry already. And you throw someone like that in the mix. And I mean, overall now it's got to be one of the best, if not the best pickups midseason or even trade deadline that we're looking at. I know you love the Cop pickup in New York as well, but
loved it.
But he's just been unbelievable. He's almost like the perfect player for Connor. We've been waiting for a guy on the left side that just has this unique ability to finish. And you know, we'll see going forward here. He's definitely put on a good show for his contracts coming up, and then we'll see what Kenny Holland's thinking. But I mean, what an acquisition getting him for essentially nothing, and he stayed out of trouble so far. So great pickup for the Oil, and you know, I think he's gonna keep going here. Well, I hope so, at least.
Share your thoughts on Mike Smith. Mike Smith at times looks fantastic. Other times there is the big gaffe. He handles the puck a lot, so when you handle the puck that much, you're going to make mistakes as well, but he's a supreme puck-handling goaltender. I know the hospital bracelet has been an issue at times with Mike Smith, but I'll tell you, you know, not last night, but the previous game, when he came back into it after going out because of concussion spotter reasons and came back and, you know, walked down from the dressing room, must have felt like a superhero or a pro wrestler. The ovation was huge, chanting his name, all of it. Give me your thoughts on the phenomenon, because it is the phenomenon of, you know, the 40-year-old goaltender in net for the Edmonton Oilers, Mike Smith.
Well, yeah, first and foremost, the fact that he's still doing it at this age and his length, his flexibility is still a very, very impressive feat. And I see the guys picking him up, too. He's been having this great adversity, too, where, you know, a gaffe here and there, but it's almost like he goes back, takes a breath, and he's able to close out. And I just love how the team has been playing around him. I think you can see the emotion and the feeling that the guys really want to win this for him. And he does make a couple blunders here and there. When he gets out of that crease, even me, I start to, you know, hold my breath a little bit. But the team's really picked him up, and he just looks like a great team guy. He's for sure great in that locker room. I know he's well loved by his teammates and by all fans alike. So incredible feat that he's still doing it, and, you know, a little stressful at times. But, man, he is just a veteran in there, and it's pretty impressive.
You know, I wonder, Luke, and with Luke Gazdick here on the Merrick Show, I wonder if he is – well, first of all, is he the toughest goaltender you've ever seen?
Yeah, he's got to be. He's up there for sure. I don't know. I didn't mess around with goalies too much, but I know I've seen him scrap before. He's tall and strong. He's got those long arms, and definitely one of the toughest that I've seen.
Like I've always defaulted to the late Ray Emery as far as the toughest goalie. Like I remember in the American League, I mean, there was one fight with Josh Gratton, which I thought, oh boy, Emery's butt bitten off more than he can chew, and he just started feeding. Feeding Gratton. Like he's always been the gold standard for tough goaltenders for me. Mike Smith is in there. No, Mike Smith is in there. Sean Burke is in there. Like Felix Potvin is there have been some really tough goalies. And he's got to be right up around the top of the list, if not the toughest, in the NHL right now. I don't think the Flames are out of this series by a long shot, even though the Oilers have them up against the ropes here, up 3-1. What do you think of the future of this series, Luke?
I was thinking about that on the drive in this morning, and I don't know. I don't know if they'll close it out. I really hope they do close it out, but I could see this thing coming back to Edmonton for Game 6, and you know what a story that would be. Battle of A coming back home, and I think they're going to push it to 6. Like I said, I'd love the Oil to close it out, but Flames are just too darn good, man. They're going to go back to the Dome. It's going to be rocking in there tomorrow night, and Maybe they'll sneak one there, but if they don't, if they do, I think it's coming back, and we'll go oil in six at Rogers on Saturday night.
It's going to be a rocking one. Can't have a conversation with the Oilers without mentioning Connor McDavid. We always talk about, I know the cliche is always, he's elevated his game. He's gone to a new level. I just kind of say, like, that's how good Connor McDavid is. Like, we shouldn't be surprised. I know the cliche is always, you know, raise the game, a new level and all that. But when you look at McDavid now, like, sometimes there are players where you just say to yourself, I don't know what to do against them. Like, you just kind of hope that he doesn't go off for 4 or 5 points. We felt that way about Wayne. We felt that way about Mario Lemieux at times, you know, during his powers. We felt that way about players like Jágr. You're playing against Connor McDavid, Luke. Like, what do you do? Like, it must be a nice feeling that whatever you want to do on the ice, you have the ability to do. Like, his head and his body are perfectly synchronized. Like, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to go and do it. Give us your thoughts on what we're seeing from Connor McDavid so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I was playing against him, I'd probably just try to change, get the puck deep and get off there. But he's playing at another level. And like you said, we keep saying, you know, he's you know, excelling to a new level. But this is something like I don't think a lot or any of us have ever seen before. I didn't have the pleasure of watching Wayne back in the day. But the way he's controlling the game, and, you know, see it, another two apples last night. But stopping on a dime, he's controlling the game. He looks like he's playing just with so much poise, and this is the first time I've seen him with this kind of purpose. He looks like a man on a mission right now, and he's not going to accept anything less than winning a cup, and you can see that in his play right now. We're witnessing greatness. This is the best performance I've ever seen by a hockey player, playoffs alone, and it's fun to watch. And I always tell people, if you're not even a hockey fan, just turn on the Oilers game and ISO cam on 97, and I think you'll be a hockey fan after that. So it's exciting to watch, and I'm glad that we're all getting to be a part of watching this little run here.
Is there one subtle skill that, as a player, Luke, you look at and you say, like, wow, how does he do? Like, the player, like, I mean, we'd always make the point about Mark Savard, for example. Like, I don't know that I ever saw anyone take the puck off the boards on his backhand, like hard rims off his backhand, better than Mark Savard. Like, that's like, it's such a unique little skill. Is there something about McDavid that you look at and you go, like, oh man, he just did that again? Like, how does he do that? What is that for you, for Connor McDavid?
Is there one thing? If we want to call it a skill, I would call it a skill, but everyone knows how fast he is and how he can turn a dime in his hands. But if you watch his eyes, he's never looking down. He's always got his eyes looking forward, and he's thinking of not only his next play, but the play after that. And I know from playing and living with him that he knows all his options as soon as he gets that puck, whether he's going to pass or he's going to skate. He's got two or three options in his head, and he's able to respond on a dime, you know, instantly. And if you just take a look at him, he's always looking forward. He's never looking at his skates, and it's just so impressive, especially you watch him go down on a two-on-one, and he'll always be staring at the pass or staring at the goalie. He's never given away his shot. And I just think that's incredible, because usually I had my head in between my legs most of the time and trying not to turn it over. And he it's like he doesn't even have to look down at the puck, which is pretty impressive to me.
You know, what's fascinating, I remember talking to, I was talking to Adam Oates about this a while ago. And one of the things that he was pointing out, because we were talking about, you know, where players get in trouble. It's interesting you mentioned that, the head down thing. And, you know, one of his points is always, you know, watch what happens with players when they have one hand on the stick and they put the other hand back on the stick. Some players will look down at the hand that's going on the stick, but the great ones will keep their heads up. He says, you know, he said something to the effect, Luke, of when you put your head down to watch your hand going onto the stick, you disengage from the play. And in the NHL, if you disengage from the play, even for a split second, you're in trouble. And the greats, like, their hand on the stick, head is still high. There's no looking at any of it. I think that's a really good point that you bring up about always keeping the head up, no matter what play you're making, no matter how obvious or how subtle it might be. And I always think of Oates saying, like, yeah, you know what? Watch where a player puts his hand back on the stick. Does he keep his head up or does he put his head down? How much is he disengaged from the play? Because I don't know that we've ever really seen Connor, when he's on the ice, disengage from the play. It's like every element of his game stays engaged, right?
Oh, it's for sure. Ochi's a smart guy pointing that out. And yeah, if you just keep looking for it, especially in the playoffs, things can happen so fast with the turnover, puck spins, puck bobbles. And he just seems to have that thing on a string and eyes up all the time. If any kids are watching him, just look at his head. He's always looking forward, never looking down.
It's true. He's pretty good, and we get to watch him on an almost nightly basis. Great stuff, Luke. Continued success. Keep it up, and we'll check back regular, pal.
All right, thanks for having me on, Jeff.
There is Luke Gazdick, former NHLer, now Oilers studio analyst. The Oilers grabbing a win last night over the Flames. 5-3 is the final score. 3-1 is the series lead right now. And so far, there seems, and got to give it to Chris Tanev, man. He gutted that thing out yesterday. No answer for the Oilers' speed, specifically McDavid. Throw Kane in that combination as well. You're going to let Connor gallop? Bad things are going to happen. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is on the horizon. We'll be joined by Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. We'll talk about the Canes and the weird record. At home, no problem. We're the 77 Habs. On the road, we're the 74 Capitals. Bizarre, the tale of two teams. And more, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN joins me top of the hour. Merrick Show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Breaking down everything in Leafsland better than anyone. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple minutes left in the program. Thanks so much for joining me as always today. Thanks to Greg Wyshynski for stopping by each and every Wednesday here on the broadcast. Maddie Marchese, how are you today, sir?
I'm great. You need to get some sleep after the show, don't you?
Tired, man. I'm exhausted. It's been a long week. Oh, we've been without power, for those who don't know. Part of the storm in Ontario, we've been without power since Saturday. So I've essentially been, especially on podcast days, shuttling back and forth here between the studio and home. I know nobody wants to hear people in media complain about their jobs. So I'll just leave it at, I'm tired. That's all. But that's okay.
You can always come over to Casa Marchese, where we do have a generator. So,
palatial estate. Dip my toes in the pool off the terrace in the backyard there. Yeah.
No, that's the hole where the dog pees, not the pool, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Hey, what did you make before I get to a couple of things here? What did you make of the Battle of Alberta last night? What a fascinating game.
Oh, my. 3-0. I'm like, okay, it's over. And then it's like, okay,
really?
Hold on a second.
You thought that?
Yeah, I really did feel like that.
Calgary wasn't playing bad, though.
I know, but that's the reason why I thought that it was going to be one of those games. Because how many times do we see that where a team goes down 3-0 because their goalie can't make a save? And you're like, well, it doesn't matter how well we play tonight.
Yeah,
our goalie's not going to make a save.
But what's the lesson of this year, though?
I know. No need to save.
Take history out of the equation. Like, this has been the year of the comebacks. Regular season and playoffs.
And that, I was actually going to ask you that question that you asked Greg. What exactly was Mike Smith doing and who was he pointing at?
No idea.
So
no clue.
I think what happened was, if you look at it, they show a shot where it's behind Mike Smith when the puck goes in, and it's really seemingly dark at the other end of the ice. And I think that the puck hits a point where it goes up, and then I think he loses it. And I think
that's what it
was. Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, how else does it go in? I like that. There's no explanation for that. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I went, it's over. Bye-bye. And that didn't happen either.
Our technical operator, Lance Kennedy, says, it's those ugly jerseys the Oilers are wearing. That's what it got lost in. Nobody likes those jerseys except the team that puts the Oilers in them, I suppose. Oilers with a 3-1 series lead. Thanks, Maddie, as always. Our producer, Matt Marchese, technical operator, Lance Kennedy. Thanks to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Luke Gazdick, Oilers studio analyst. Thanks for stopping by. Gazzy and Elliot Friedman kicks off each and every show here. Enjoy the game tonight. Colorado, can they close out against St. Louis? Find out 8 o'clock Eastern, Sportsnet and CBC. Hockey Night in Canada.